It was by faith that Moses, when he grew up, refused to be treated as the son of Pariah's daughter. He chose to share the oppression of God's people instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin. He thought it was better to suffer for the sake of the Messiah than to own the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking ahead to the great reward that God would give him. It was by faith that Moses left the land of Egypt. He was not afraid of the king. Moses kept right on going because he kept his eyes on the one who is invisible. It was by faith that Moses commanded the people of Israel to keep the Passover and to sprinkle blood on the doorposts so that the angel of death would not kill their firstborn sons.
Thank you. No surprise that we eventually find our way. As we're talking about this great cloud of witnesses that Hebrews 11 talks about, surprise, this hall of faith to Moses reference. It's not going to make the Hall of Faith. Of course he is. There's no other personality in all the Old Testament that casts a longer shadow than Moses does. No one carries much weight. No one shapes the Old Testament. Heard the children of Israel out of this. That was all. That would be enough. But it was also through Moses that the law was given. It was all grow and grow, and that the Hebrews became a community as well. It was through Moses that the chosen people are transitioned back. If you know the backstory, kind of the Old Testament story of the Promised Land, after 40 significant peace, that yet Moses then leads the people back out, leave back to the Promised Land. This becomes such a significant piece that Moses is seen through the New Testament, or even into the Old Testament land, seen as the great leader of all. No one thinks that Moses has and the foundation that he leaves for us. So it is. Download files from the cloud using a tablet. Of course he did. Opportunity. Perfect. And this is part of the beauty of the Bible story, isn't it? That while there is no one like Moses in the Old Testament story, there's no one as significant, no one whose faith we are called to emulate, it is at points throughout the story that we see that his humanity, his pride, his anger get in the way. And yet God uses him. Moses, which kind of a not struggled. Even if Moses found that sometimes walking by faith was tough because of just his stuff, it helps us to say, okay, maybe that's something that we can remember through and learn as well. So what is it model for? Well, it's his faith. Did you hear it? As Dee was saying, it was by faith Moses did. It was by faith Moses did. It was by faith. Now, before we get into the story of Moses, I'm going to just lay a kind of as a foundational piece for where we go today. It is Jesus who then would say, long after Moses, to gain in Matthew 16. And yet forfeit their soul. Good will it be for someone. Now that's a phrase that comes to us and is a challenge to us. It's an encouragement to us to recognize that there are things in the world that we might strive for, but really what Jesus is talking about here. And you're going to see that that's exactly what Moses is commended for, a faith that enabled him to keep the most important thing, the most important thing. Okay, so going back to Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, that's something you may say, well, I've never been accused of being Pharaoh's daughter, so this doesn't apply to me. But that's not the point. Okay, so hold on. If you know the place of great privilege, at the center of power of the most powerful nation on the earth at its time, Moses seemed to have it all. And yet it says he refused to be known by that way. Instead, he chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoying the fleeting, all the pleasures of sin. Him because he was not to pursue all the, not with the prevailing culture around him, but he wanted to identify with the people of God. Now, this is hard for us. As we go on, we'll look at this a little further. It says he regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ of greater value than the treasures of Egypt. Because, and this is the key, because of this world, he was looking ahead to his reward to offer us, recognizing that anything that this world has to offer be a mirage, that whatever this world has to offer us is probably, if we get that, we'll finally attain happiness. If we get that, we'll finally be settled. If we get that, we will finally be complete. And we recognize that no, the more that we attain, the more we gain, the more we get, we find that it continues. The goalpost continues to move. And that happiness, that peace, that satisfaction continues to be an illusion. No, Moses did not deem the ways of the world, and all he said, I found him as something to fall in line, the hard path, align myself with the people of God. I'm really clever. Entitled this, in this, that's why I think different, because I think I'm really clever. Okay, there you get your pride out on display here, John. Okay, so go ahead. A number of years ago, there was an ad campaign. Do you remember it? It's called Think Different. Apple put it out because they thought they were the only ones who had come up with this idea of being different. You know, they would throw faces up on TV screen, you know, these Think Different types of, and all the, you know, Einstein and Gandhi behind it. It was like this. It went, you know, and all these people, easy ones, to the misfits, to the rebels and troublemakers, to the round pegs in square holes, to the ones who think differently. Oh, leave it to Apple to think they came up with the idea of standing apart from the culture and living for something better. Leave it to Apple. I talk about my pride. Talk about pride. Here it is. Oh, join us, all you rebels out there. All you rebels who look just like every other rebel. All you rebels who wear the same haircut, the same clothes, right? It's all about conformity. It just depends on what we're conforming ourselves to. Even the most rebellious out in the world all look like one another. This idea that Moses is getting after. And again, I say this to you this morning, that what Moses was exemplifying for us is the ability to think different from the world around with him. And the world, and the ability to say, I'm going to choose to align with God's people, not with the culture. And my faith is what's going to enable me to do that. Moses saw this. It was in, again, going back to Jesus, Matthew 13. Next slide, Jeremy, there we go. You know, Jesus said this, that the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. Catch this. That when a man found it, he hid it yet again and then went in joy and sold all he had and bought the field. Now, why would a man do that? Because the man realized that the kingdom was worth much more than everything else he had. Jesus said that's going to be our role model as well. Moses exemplifies that. It's not the pleasures of being at the center of power. It is the choice to live aligned with God and aligned with God's people. This is how it begins. Continuing on, by faith, he left Egypt, Moses, not fearing the king's anger. And again, here it is the same thing. It is by faith that he's able to stand apart from the crowd, stand apart from the pressures of the world, stand apart even against the oppression that may come because he's standing apart, because of his faith. And this becomes, you know, our jumping off point for us, isn't it? Because sometimes it costs us, doesn't it? Sometimes it's hard for us to stand apart. Sometimes it's hard for us to let our light shine because we're afraid that if we let our light shine, we will be beaten into submission. We will lose out on the good things that the world can bring to us. We will somehow miss out on what it means for us to be whole in this world. You know, friends, we live in a time that is a wonderful time. I know all of us feel, and a lot of times we hear this in the Christian community, how we're being oppressed by the culture around us, how we're being called names by the culture around us. Get used to it. That's just how the world is. At least we're not being killed. But you know, there are folks being killed all around the world. This last year, 5,000 individuals were martyred because of their faith in Christ. 5,000. Now, in the scope of the world, it's not a whole big lot, but that's a lot of people. I was just reading an article this week out of Christianity Today. They said that of all the nations where it's hard to be a Christian, North Korea ranks as number one. Woo, let's hear from North Korea. Not that they kill the most people. They don't kill all that many Christians, but it's hard to be a Christian in North Korea because you don't get a job, you can't buy food, you can't do a lot of things that would normally make being a Christian doable. Now, the deadliest country this year was Nigeria. Over 4,000 people in Nigeria alone of that 5,000 were killed for their faith. Now, we don't hear about that because you know why? Because we don't live in Nigeria. But there are brothers and sisters of you and me who live in places like Nigeria for whom being called a Christian, identifying with God's people, is costly. We're afraid to be canceled. We're afraid to be called names, aren't we? I mean, it wasn't too long ago that to be able to say, hey, there are two genders, male and female, that wasn't a radical statement. But now if you say it, you're a hater. Heard that? You know, it wasn't too long ago that you could say it's unfair for women to have to compete on the athletic field with people who are biologically male because that's just wrong. But you can't really say that anymore. You know why? If you say it, what are you? You're a hater. You know, it was a time when we could say that life is precious, that every single life, human life, is precious and sacred because we're created in the image of God. And that from the moment of conception, we ought to be protected. There was a day we could say that, but you know what you get called now if you say that? You get called a hater. Right, you're trampling on somebody's rights. Get back in line. Stay in your place. Shut your mouth. That's what we call. Now, maybe they're not taking our heads off. Praise God. But there's still an intimidation that goes way to heaven. You know, and that out of God's love, we should all follow Jesus. But you know what happens when you say that now? Well, you're being a hater. You're being exclusive. You're denying other people their choice to make whatever choice they want to make with their faith. No, we live in a context, in a culture that says, get in line, stay quiet, don't get out of line. And Moses here is lifted up because his faith enabled him to say, I'm not going to play by the world's rules. I'm going to even suffer the consequences that might come because I have a faith which is looking beyond to him who is invisible. And that we, friends, are called to this same reality, that we are called to live different. Not only to think different, but to live different, so that somehow our testimony becomes seen for what it is. It's different than the world around us. You know, the world says you should make all you can so that you can get all you can. Whether it's get it all right now, or whether it's, you know, store up for yourself that nice plush retirement later, whatever it is, but that's the whole goal of living in this world. That's what we are told by this materialistic culture we live in. A couple hundred years ago, there was a fellow named John Wesley, and he said this. He said, make all you can. Yes, earn all you can. And save all you can so that you can give away all that you can and do the most good that you can. You see, it takes someone like John Wesley to say this materialistic world that we're all drawn to is a false reality too. That we're not created in order to make ourselves the most comfortable. We are created to make a difference in the world. And sometimes it is through the resources, especially in a country as wealthy as ours. Sometimes we think we're not wealthy because compared to others in our culture, we're not all that wealthy. But compared to the world, we have an amazing ability to make an impact in places where that money goes a lot farther than it will go because I'm paying too much for my cable bill or my cell phone bill. No, we need to begin to shift our world around. And that's what Moses lifts up here for us, that we are called to be like Moses. Okay, a couple quick verses. James 1 says that we are called not only to listen to the world, but we are called also to do what it says. Folks, this is critical for us. That's why I even suggest trying this thing I've called the faith promise. To say I'm going to not just think God provides for me, but I'm going to really trust that He will. That He will work though I am. Love for the world is so great that He will use even. And the bottom line for our Hebrews 11 look at Moses, I think, is going to come down to this, that by faith we like Moses. That we can rebuff, folks, the allure and the threats of conformity to the world around us and live a life that stands out, that begins to let the light shine, that in the dark world we all recognize as the dark world, so why do we go along with the darkness? We're called to be different. We're called to think different. We're called to live different. And it's this faith that God has something better for us that enables us to do it. Now, sure, standing out is going to be scary sometimes. Sure, standing out is going to sometimes cost. But we are called not to conform to the pattern of this dark world. In Romans 12, verse 2, my last verse here for us today, hold on to this one, though. But do not conform to the pattern of this world. This is as clear as Paul could be for us. But we are called to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. That God's going to do a work in us, and as we continue to grow in our faith, that we're going to continue to be enabled to more and more to follow this Moses example, to do this new thing that God wants for us to do. And even though Moses lived a long time ago, I think it's time for us in the here and the now to begin to live a little bit more different, to be able to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, to be able to think different. Today, we're going to conclude our thoughts here today by coming forward, by receiving the elements of Holy Communion. But I want to invite you to see it through the same think different lens. That as we come forward, yes, there is about our forgiveness of sins, but there's also this idea of accepting this new covenant. When Jesus said, "This in this cup is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, the new arrangement, the new agreement, the new commitment." This new covenant of my blood is choosing to say, I'm going to be aligned to a different reality, to a different, have a different loyalty, to a different allegiance, that I'm going to choose to be a follower of Jesus, that this is the new covenant that I am agreeing to and stepping into, a new way of thinking, a new way of responding, a new way of seeing God in the midst of my life being lifted up to the world. And so today we're going to get ready to come and have those my servers come and assist. And as they do, the idea will be that all of us will have the opportunity to come to receive the bread, to receive the cup, to be reminded that God loved you so much, but He invites us to something to live as.